Thanks for tuning in to the Vertical Plus podcast. We always open the show with a discussion about this past Sunday's message. If you didn't catch it, you can go back an episode and listen to the audio version. Thanks again for listening.
Do give me the beat. I've been watching a lot of Office lately with my daughter. So when Rachel's in the room, we have to watch The Office, and then when Rachel leaves and it's just Liv and I, we can watch Parks and Rec.
Ah,
she's more of a Parks and Rec kind of girl.
Liv is. Yeah, Liv really pays more attention to Parks and Rec.
I feel
than
like
the Office.
Liv resonates with the characters on Parks and Rec more.
She's pretty bubbly. I kind of put her in line with Leslie a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, she's got a
less obnoxious though.
Liv is really coming into her personality lately. I've noticed she's been screaming a lot,
shouts.
and in a positive way.
And it's bright and early too. Like she wakes up, Rachel feeds her, and then the second she's done,
she's a morning person.
Yeah. I'm really sad that I'm still part of the 1% that hasn't watched The Office or Parks and Rec.
I would start with Parks and Rec.
Oh, neither?
I mean, I think I've seen a couple episodes of The Office.
I'm gonna give the hot take that Parks and Rec is. Would probably be better for your humor.
I think Parks and Rec is more welcoming to new crowds.
Yes.
But The Office, I think, is a stronger show. It's more intelligent, I think.
You think The Office is intelligent?
you haven't watched
fired.
It.
Yeah,
the episodes I've seen were not intelligent.
Which seasons?
I've seen season one and a lot of episodes.
That's what
from
everybody
five.
Always says because I didn't watch The Office
yeah,
for a
like,
long time.
Yeah, they're like, skip it, skip this.
Yeah, they're like, skip season one. I'm
but
like,
then
that,
you need to
I'm
go
not
back
going
to, build
to
up
do
the
that.
Characters. Yeah,
you're not tricking me into watching the show twice if I don't like it initially.
Absolutely. Not sitting down.
Now, I did sit down and watch it over quarantine.
See, that's unfair, though, because most people's first iterations are not strong. Breaking Bad season one is the worst season. But you still love the show.
I'll say this. I started Parks and Rec at episode one, at the pilot, and I watched it through.
It's possible.
I did not do that with The Office.
Yeah, I'm... Okay, never mind. We're wasting time.
We're at 8 minutes, at least.
Just two.
We're 8 minutes.
All right, so this past Sunday... Actually, he's your friend. I think you should talk about it a little bit.
Oh, Bill, you're not Chase's friend. So here's
Sorry, he's your better friend.
Nobody else likes you, Bill.
None of us appreciate you, but Ben's here.
I have to look up at Bill to talk to him, and it really hurts me. You're taller than I am, Ben.
Still, I have that experience, though.
Yeah, he's tall.
I think most people do with Bill.
What is he? He's probably like 6'4".
He's 6 intimidating is what he is. So
Bill Blair.
Yeah, it's always a cool experience to be able to invite a friend in, especially a friend that has a story like that, especially a story that they're like that they're willing to talk about so honestly.
Yeah, his venture into Vertical Church was a long time coming, then it finally happened, and within a calendar year, we got him on stage.
Yes,
pretty cool.
It's cool, and he's been influencing people behind the scenes in a lot of different ways for a long time.
Right.
We all felt compelled, like more people should know this story.
Yeah.
And with his backstory though, having worked at a church before, and there was a lot that Bill had to muster up that people don't realize to be willing to share the things that he shared, especially so publicly. I think it's just a testament to his journey to health that he turned it comfortable in his own skin.
If you haven't seen it, I'm going to link it in the episode description below. So go and pause it this episode, go watch it, and then listen to the previous episode
podcast.
Of this podcast where
which
Ben,
is the actual interview, right?
Yeah. So what we did was we filmed Bill's story. He came Sunday morning and sat down with you on stage, and you kind of got some further descriptions from his story live. And then now we're doing this.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Now
about
you're here
talking
now.
About, yeah, and
we're
now,
three
we're
layers
now,
deep.
Yeah, I will say I do. We don't often do this, but with this behind the scenes nature of this podcast, I thought the production quality of that story was really, really good.
I edited it and I made maybe 3 cuts.
Mm. Really,
he is strong, man.
Yeah, he did it. He did good. But I'm even just visually. like the way that the shot was framed up, the black background, the lighting was awesome.
Thank you, Zach Ball.
Yeah, it just made me feel like I'm sitting down with Bill. That's kind of hard to do on camera.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get that right and sometimes you don't. So it was very easy to engage with.
Also behind the curtain, look at that. I was there whenever Bill came in to record that, and I was talking with him before while Chase and Zach were setting up the cameras, and I was thinking to myself, like, this guy must be incredibly comfortable in his story. Because he was just, you know, shooting the breeze with me or whatever. And then he was like, all right, I'm jumping into this. And then I watched it later. And I was like, whoa.
Well, a backstory that a lot of people don't know, and it's how I've been kind of explaining why he was so good at it. But like probably like, what, 25 weekends out of the year, he's got people out in the woods, just like he describes in the story, his dream job. Mm. And a large part of that, one of Bill's major icebreakers is sharing at least part of his story during the campfire parts of the nights. It really cuts through any tension or awkwardness that might be happening with this random group of people that are suddenly together out in the woods. So he has a lot of practice at it, and he's got it down to a T, man. It's really good. But he still is able to capture the emotion in it because it's...
Yeah, it still feels like maybe the first time he's been that vulnerable about it.
It's very genuine.
Yeah. You're referencing his company, Rocks to Rivers, which he talks about in the video without naming. Mm-hmm. I think he was being careful to not promote his business. I wish he would have.
I mean, we don't care.
Yeah, he's making a really big impact through that business, Rocks to Rivers. Website, I think, is rockstorivers.com.
Which we're actually partnered with, kind of.
Yeah, through the hangar. Yeah. So the fact that he's doing that regularly absolutely did help him. So, yeah, I mean, the moments in that video where, and I know Bill very well. I mean, we had a really rocky friendship in the beginning that I referenced live from stage. Bill's issues with authority and my issues with authority did not complement.
You weren't a tag team on
that's
authority.
Right, yeah. He hated authority. I was codependent on authority. So it put me in this weird in-between in our friendship. Mm. And I was friends with Bill. We were really friends, but we fought a lot because I was trying to get him to get in line. And he was trying to say, wake up, man. Mm. You know, and I'm like, no. I don't need to wake up. You need to get in line. And so we did that for a couple of years together. And then he reached out after we both left that job that we mutually had. And he reached out. And quite frankly, I was too cowardice to answer the text message for a couple of months. And he was very persistent. And then we're off to the races. Here we are. We're on a stage together and talking about his story. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So the things that he said, though, and my curiosity for this segment of the podcast is, I watched this with Cammy at home because I have the login for the YouTube channel. Watched this before the weekend, and there were just a couple of moments where she and I are sitting together, literal description of what happened. Bill would say something, we would both go, you know, like that. And then by the end of it, we're both crying watching Bill, you know.
It's like a good stir fry. You say, then you cry at the end.
That's right. It's so good. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Your relationship with stir fry is much different than mine, I think.
I really enjoy it.
You do, man.
So much.
It's the teriyaki. I don't know. Is that part of the...
But don't get him started.
Sorry.
Okay. I've already recommended it too many times.
Back to Bill. All right. So I want to know the moments that you guys were able to watch the video. What were those moments for you where you're like, whoa?
I think for me, and I'm a little fuzzy because I watched it before. My memory's a little fuzzy, not me in particular. I haven't shaved.
We should mention that Austin has traveled the world in the past 27 hours. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember what was in the video and what was actually brought out in the interview. But
let's broaden the question either way.
Yeah. What stuck out to me most was the conversation between he and his wife in the bathroom. Like, I think the general depiction of that, it was just very vivid imagery of her kind of standing in his way in the bathroom. It's like, hey, there was some gravitas to it. It's like, this is a pivotal point in the relationship, this conversation right here. And I was stuck thinking, like, I've had those conversations. Mm-hmm. I know what that's like to have that relationship, that conversation with somebody that you love. And you didn't go into the day thinking this is about to really change my perspective on life, you know. And I don't know, the way that he described it really stuck out to me. Like, geez, that's heavy. That's heavy.
No doubt.
And there are a lot of guys, I think, that are avoiding that conversation on a daily basis. That's what I left thinking then was like, geez, there are so many guys that wake up in the morning thinking, I'm trying to skirt by that interaction with the person that I'm married to, you know?
Yep. So, let me just get out of this bathroom.
Yes. Yeah.
I had a talk with Amanda in the lobby after service, and she's like, you know, I was fighting so hard standing. She was in our second service. She said, I was fighting so hard not standing up in the middle of that service saying, don't celebrate me. I'm not perfect. I've got my own issues. You know, Bill's had to say things to me too. And I'm like, man, what a beautiful picture of how their relationship has matured over the years. That was really cool. Yeah, the moments. I've been a part of those conversations a lot because I have one of those spouses that eventually would be like, okay, I'm calling this.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm thankful for. I think Bill is too.
Yeah. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most is because I saw a lot of my story within it is God telling Bill, you know, or asking him, what do you want to do? Because like before I hopped off into adulthood like that, I'm like tons of people in the world. Like I had zero idea of where am I going at all. And, you know, ironically, I ended up in the ministry. So it kind of makes the question feel moot. But I don't think I would be doing this part of ministry if it wasn't for that kind of conversation with God, you know, and other people in my life that he put there. Like,
That stuck out to me too. And I'm going to piggyback off of that. It made me think like I very often hear people who talk about like, you know, I was kind of like Paul and God knocked me off my donkey and I got called into ministry. And I'm like,
was Paul on a donkey?
Who got knocked off a donkey?
Wasn't that Paul? Yeah. On the way to Tarsus. Oh, don't even come at me with that. Anyway. Wow. So that's definitely what happened. And he was blind.
Stay tuned. I'm going to Google.
Well, he was Saul then, but anyway.
Yeah.
That's what confused me.
What are they teaching you in seminary?
That's what it was. But anyway, that wasn't my experience at all. I wasn't in a like dark room and there was all of a sudden light and God was like, hey, you're going into ministry. I think kind of like Bill, I just said yes to things and God used it and now we're here, you know? And I love the humility in that part of his story. It's like, Bill is doing stuff that I wish that I could do, you know, like I'm like, man, I wish that I had that opportunity to do that sort of thing. I love that. And I'm excited about the way that God is using him. And it didn't come across in his story like he had some weird enlightened vision, you know?
Yeah. What he did not say, and he says this a lot, but he was in Kentucky because his dad took a position, an education position there. So, you know, a lot of that backstory of God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? There's a lot of ministry stuff going on. It wasn't just like we were missionaries and then we weren't.
Yeah.
He comes back, his family comes back to the U.S. His dad takes a pretty big position. And so that influenced him a lot. I've got a question, Reshma, from a female's point of view. I'm always intrigued by this. From a female's point of view, when you hear a guy share a story, is it like, okay, checking out? Or is there things there you're like, oh no, parallels. I get it.
Yeah, I think, I don't think I've ever had a full conversation with Bill, to be honest, but I related to him in so many ways. And I can't speak for all women, but when I hear a man's story, I'm actually more intrigued most of the time.
Really?
Because I always want to see inside a man's head.
Oh, boy.
Just like you want to know what women are thinking, exactly. I want to know what men are thinking. Most of the time, are you thinking at all? I don't know.
I knew it was coming. We deserve it.
But with Bill, I found just so many similarities and not even in just like the adventure seeker, like I love the outdoors, that kind of stuff. But what really triggered me is just him talking about being in that leadership position and not able to share his struggles. I think we've all dealt with that, ministry or not, ministry or leadership, whatever anybody listening to. I mean, you feel like you're put on a different pedestal. And I talk about this with you guys all the time. I mean, it's just really hard to share with your community. So I do appreciate that he was able to be so vulnerable and honest about times when he was in ministry. Even when you think that you're at the top of your game, you've arrived, he was very humbling and saying, no, like that's not the case at all. Like you struggle even more. You may even struggle in silence and your wife may not know about it or, you know, all that. So for me, it definitely wasn't a disconnect. It was more of a connection to him. And I felt like I knew him more. And that actually helped me a lot because even today, I mean, we struggle with things and feel like we can't even tell our best friend about it because they've put us in this high regard because we are in ministry, because we are leaders, because we are leading other people in this area, you feel like you can't step up and say, you know, I've kind of hit a plateau of, you know, in my spiritual life, I've, you know, not heard from God in a while, and not even in the vision way that Austin was talking about, but just like, I haven't felt him with me or whatever that is. It's really hard to get up there and be honest. I think that we all do a good job about doing that as a team and maybe like with your spouse or with your family. But I know for me, I struggle with that completely because people have told me, you know, you are at this level and nobody your age has done this. And look at all the things that God's doing through you. And I'm like, yeah, but I still struggle all the time. So just hearing that from Bill's perspective, like I said, I probably know him the least in this room, but hearing that from him was a really big like weight off my shoulders. And that always happens too. Like when you hear a story and you can connect with it and then you hear redemption, then you hear God's plan through it. That's always encouraging and honestly just makes you want to walk out and keep going, keep fighting the fight, even on the hard days.
I think along with that, something that made me thankful for a story is like that, his story is incredibly specific and applicable to the four of us in here because we are in ministry. But every bit of his story, you could put any job in replacement of ministry, and it's just as powerful of a story. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm always worried about like stories that are from a ministry perspective, like a true like I'm paid to do ministry perspective.
Yeah,
that it's just gonna miss because it's such a specific lifestyle.
Yeah,
not calling us like, you know, but
we're special. We get
it. Yeah, that's fine. Elect, yada yada.
Oh my God!
Oh no. Everybody just tuned out. Spacebar,
Austin's mug.
But
spacebar.
But I was incredibly thankful for that, and I think that's a testament to God's use of Bill and Bill himself, because Bill is just such a real dude.
Yes,
it's so good, just all around.
What a tragedy that he lived so many years not being that guy.
Yeah,
man, that frustrates.
It's hard
me.
For me to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine.
He is a dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he always had that like vibrato, but you could tell it was like there's
something under there.
Yeah. Like what's going on that you're not telling me, you know? And just the way that it ended too, you know, my best days. And he's thinking through like, how do I say this? You can see it in his eyes on the video.
Mm-hmm.
How do I say on my best days what I am? And then he comes out like, it was just a statement of healing. I'm just Bill.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
There's a lot of joy.
Yes.
In him.
Yeah.
And peace. Like when I was listening to his story, I resonated with like that kind of restless part of that. And when you talk to him now, he just seems very at peace with who he is and what he's doing.
He hugs you every time you see him. But even if he just talked, it feels like a hug the whole time just because this dude is just zen, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
When he hugs you, it kind of envelops you because he's so large.
Yeah,
it's like it's a wide wingspan.
Yeah, a long wingspan. But for me, I think the reason I brought up that ending is because when I saw it, and I still feel this way, I'm like, I'm not there. You know, related to what you're saying, Reshma, I could not shoot a video and say, on my best days, I'm just Ben. I have no idea what that feels like.
Mm.
I'm intrigued. I want to get there. I'm not really sure how.
Yeah. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Chase.
I don't have a narrative this week. I feel like y'all kind of crapped on me last week.
We really...
Still hurt over that.
Yeah.
No, wait. Let me just say something, because the last time that I said something here during the introduction, you cut me off and re-recorded it. But then when Megan was on here, you allowed her.
Well, Megan writes his checks. I'm just saying.
Okay, never mind.
I wasn't like doing like, I had a whole story letter planned out, and I couldn't get that magic back if I started over.
Here's my question. Do you write these out prior to coming in, or is it all off the top of the old dome?
It's all off the top of the
old like dome.
Quite the creative.
I thought it was pretty clear. All right, anyway, you want to ask us anything?
Yeah, I'll ask you some stuff. I got some things I'd like to say. All right. Question, first question.
Question.
Saying loud things. My story matters. How do you choose who takes part in these? Do you enjoy doing the ones that are around staff more? I'm reading this verbatim. Around staff more or people who are just part of the church?
So to answer the first question... whoever, like, the biggest givers are usually the people that we choose right out of the gate.
I look at a list, like, who's giving the most money.
Yeah. Well, and then we, let's say my story was on there, and I definitely am not in that 5%.
Well, they're exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not really a process. I think you've chosen most of them, honestly, Ben.
Whoever Ben takes a shine to.
Is that how this works?
Yeah.
But also, I think in like small group setting, we hear people's story and we're like, man, people really need to hear this.
Yeah. That's usually the motivating factor. And full disclosure, you have to go through the second layer of, can this person sit in front of a camera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they comfortable?
Can they relay
enough?
Their
yeah.
story?
Yeah. And, can they yeah. relay their story? Can they handle spiritually probably what's going to happen? We learned very early on, I was actually taught this and then saw it happen. The guys that started the church were like, hey, before you put someone on screen, make sure they're ready. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? And like, well, it just things, spiritual warfare occurs when people mm-hmm. start to share their story.
So mm-hmm. do you think we require like some closure to already have happened in their story? Not closure, but you know what I mean? Like it's all some healing.
Yes. There's got to be some processing and some healing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, Reshma, what you're referencing is if someone's sharing their story and they're to that place, like, man, more people need to hear about this. Mm-hmm. The way you can be articulate it, mm-hmm. the right. things that you did to kind of start to climb out of it. It would be irresponsible to take someone in the throes of their trauma and right. say, hey, share this with everyone, yeah. you know? So honestly, people tell us no. I've mm-hmm. reached out to a couple of people and they're like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And you mm-hmm. got to be willing to hear that. So,
yeah. What was the staff versus?
Staff, yeah.
Yeah. It was basically just how do you choose between staff or just people that are part of the community? Because I've only been around for two, and both of the two that I have seen were just people who were part of Vertical Church. But we have done some staff, right?
Well,
I know
like
you had one, Rush.
The staff ones are usually. It's kind of like what I was talking about in the last segment with Bill. Like, even though they're ministry, it's very applicable to a lot of people. Because most of the staff here, their stories before ministry, like, not many of us were in ministry before we got to Vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Megan's, she was doing banking and stuff. Reshma was doing fitness. And mm-hmm. you were doing something else alongside fitness, weren't you?
Yeah, medical sales.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
I was a stripper.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like a wire stripper. Rescued.
Yeah.
No wonder you ended up here.
That's yeah, right. Come to think of it, like my story is probably the least interesting. That's funny.
Well, I would disagree, but it may, I think.
No, yeah, you're on. You just put good words behind it.
That's yeah,
right. Okay, yeah, we'll go back to that.
Yeah, I got to get wordy with
it's
this.
It's not that it's the least interesting. I think it's really relatable because some people feel like they don't have a story if they don't have this crazy thing
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, it's that classic. Mm-hmm. Like, my testimony isn't as good because yeah. I don't have the drugs or whatever.
No, I didn't mean it
van.
That way. I mean, the ministry side of it.
What did you say?
The van.
The van.
Sorry, Mom.
You don't have drugs or a van.
What's sad is I knew what you meant by that, but if you don't know, then
no one knows. That's kind of why I did it. Yeah. Go watch Restaurant Story.
Yeah, I just meant like before Vertical Church, there was a lot of ministry back there, and
yeah.
that's what I meant. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did they ask if we had a preference? I feel like that was in
yeah,
the question.
Yeah. We don't have a preference.
Yeah, we don't.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we do.
No. Yeah. It's yeah, there's no real process.
Yeah, I think
it's a lot
all
of
about
its
the
feel.
Story.
Yeah, we got yeah.
Next question. You guys seem to be pretty opinionated about Disney Pixar movies. What are your favorites?
I thought we did this.
No, we did the characters. We did the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, that's
characters.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So
we're gonna have to pause again.
I don't know. Just go off the cuff.
Like your number one?
Here's the thing. Chase is way too opinionated on Disney Pixar. So this is a great question for you.
These are public opinions. And I hold my opinions high.
Well, we just have to throw out there that Toy Story has got a...
Toy Story is tops to me. I think
yeah.
I said that before. Like,
yeah,
it's
you
hard
can't.
To beat.
The other stuff yeah. is going to be in relation to that.
Go ahead.
I feel like one of the most underappreciated is Inside Out.
Oh,
we watched
it
new.
We yeah. watched that a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it's
you hadn't seen it yet, right?
No,
when
we
talked about it.
I had seen it. Oh,
okay.
I had seen it.
You forgot about it.
I'd forgotten about it. So Caitlin and I actually went back and watched it, and I was like, "This is a great movie." But I'm with Chase. Anger's character
is incredible.
Oh, it angered the whole thing.
Well, the thing there's only two. Not to give too much prop to Rotten Tomatoes, but there's only two Pixar movies that have 100%. It's Toy Story 2 and Inside Out. And I would, those would be in the top five for me.
I love the Prospector in Toy Story 2. I also, and I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but I loved A Bug's Life.
It is very good. Yeah. People forget. That's one people forget.
It's an underrated one, but it's good.
Although Aladdin's not Pixar. Sorry, that's my fault.
Wait.
It's Disney, though.
It is Pixar now.
I thought you said Disney Pixar.
They said Disney or Pixar. That's my bad.
Oh, Disney or Pixar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was my
bad. Yes, Aladdin is definitely one of my favorites, not just because she's brown. I just tell people my name's Jasmine if they don't know how to spell Reshma.
When you do takeout and stuff,
no, 100%,
like,
and then I forget.
Or Jasmine.
Yes,
so you can pull that off. If I went for an ethnic name, it wouldn't work.
People don't try to make Jasmine ethnic. Like, they just say Jasmine. When people say Reshma, they're like, Reshma?
They try and roll it.
Yeah.
Does that never happen?
Quit, barista.
One of my favorite things to do is, like, at fast food. Remember we used to go in fast food restaurants?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. I'd say Carlos, and they'd just look at me.
That's when I knew Austin and I were going to be friends, because he was in front of me at Raising Cane's and said Carlos. And I was like, no way, I'm Jasmine. And he was just like.
We took Austin and Caitlin, your wife, to Wendy's, y'all's first Sunday here.
Yeah.
And he ordered in front of me and said Carlos. I was like,
yep.
Well, I think we made the right choice.
At that Wendy's, they don't know my real name because I always do Carlos. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, that guy.
So what was the question? Disney. Yeah.
I think we settled it.
Toy Story, Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Inside Out, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo is very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't have a hard opinion on Pixar. A lot of them are just great.
Yeah, I can't say I've walked out of one going, they really missed it there.
No.
What's the book that talks about their process? Pseudo recommend.
I thought Brené Brown talked about it.
Brené talked about it a lot, but there is a book.
Oh, the yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's like a creative book.
I think Grote knows.
Probably. Well, somebody get Grote.
Next question.
Hold, please.
Which would be harder for each of you to give up, alcohol or coffee?
What? I guess they don't know us.
Yeah. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's coffee.
Coffee
for sure.
Definitely coffee.
I've already kind of given, like, I'll do it every now and then, but coffee is an everyday thing.
Yeah, it's part of a ritual for sure.
If I were to say, like, hey, I'm Ben and I'm a social drinker, I would be talking about coffee. Because we drink coffee in meetings.
I wouldn't do that, but I get what you're saying.
It's such a part of our social rhythm around here.
Well, plus, like, if you drink coffee every day like we do, it's not a problem. It is a problem, but it's not a problem. If you drink coffee,
yeah. It would be a real issue. Yeah,
hey, man. We don't want you to head for that My Story Matters territory. Back up.
I'm trying to really solidify my
Although, we drink so much coffee in the meeting before we record this podcast. If we did drink, this podcast would be way more fun.
It would be a very different podcast.
Totally different podcast.
After hours.
We're already loose.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is partially due to the coffee. Last question. What hobby have you always wanted to develop?
Like something we would like to be good at, what we're not yet.
Knitting.
That's an interesting way to put develop.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Knitting. I just can't sit still long enough. Surprise.
And crochet. You should do it on plane.
And crochet.
You can do it on the plane.
You think I'm going to bring a bag of crochet materials on a plane?
I'm just saying. I've seen.
For 16 hours?
What do you bring on a plane?
Yeah.
Headphones for all the movies that
I watch. That's a great question. What do you bring on a plane? Sorry.
Well, that is a good question.
Listener who sent in this question.
So are we skipping the hobby one?
No, you can do the hobby and then we can do the other.
Next week we'll talk about
I'm going to go practical. I think it would be woodworking. Because I hate it. Like, I really don't. If I'm doing it with Ben, then it's a little better because he's already good at it.
Oh, that's
but
true.
I would be self-conscious the whole time I did it by
myself.
That's
the thing we built together. That was a challenge.
It did suck.
Yeah.
Hey, it still works good.
Turned out beautifully.
Yeah, it's put together.
It looked good. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Carpentry.
Yeah, I would say no, woodworking.
Woodworking.
Carpentry is like house and stuff, right? Like,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Woodworking. I don't know.
So you don't want to like frame a house. You want to
No.
Yeah.
That's too much responsibility.
Talking about fine woodworking.
Like if that dresser falls apart, I'm not killing anybody.
No big deal. Yeah.
This probably doesn't count, but I also really want to be good at gardening. And I tried.
Yeah.
Did you say past tense?
Got mad at us when we said that it wouldn't last.
It lasted longer than you said.
That's true. It did. You're right.
Well, and one of them is still alive.
One plant?
It's the sweet potatoes.
Oh.
I think I'm supposed to take them out this month, maybe. I'll let you guys know. Stay tuned.
Reference
it's
Denise.
Still alive because it's not time for it to be alive and then dead yet. It's like.
Okay,
not,
guys.
What about you, Ben?
Woodworking. Yes, I'm not good at it, but I wish I could be. This is going to surprise you guys.
Go ahead.
I've always wanted to be much better at guitar than I actually am.
Oh, well, you've talked to Luke, previous staff member and I about that.
Yeah. I feel like that's just a time thing.
Well, yes and no. What I realized and the reason I quit is because I don't have the math. And I couldn't.
Like the number system?
I couldn't pick it up. You know,
what do you mean the math?
Well, yeah. The math of the fretboard and like, oh, well, this is this here and it's that there. And I'm just like, whoa.
I think you're making it too analytical.
That's above me.
Yeah.
I tried, you know.
I feel like that's a wrong approach.
Well, and part of it is a little bit of family history too. My brother is an incredible musician.
Yeah, I haven't heard him. There was a piano in his home and he was there and he wouldn't play.
So do you feel like you're living in the shadow so you can't even compare?
Always.
Mm-hmm. I understand this. I can relate to this.
From what I know about your brother, he would be a good musician.
Yes. I mean, I have watched my brother play Bach repeatedly.
Oh, good.
Like that's the level that he is. And also can sit down at the Baby Grand in his living room and play something pop. It's just, it frustrates me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always wanted to be a better musician than I actually am.
That's a good answer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you say Austin?
I didn't. I'm thinking. I mostly do what I want to do.
Wow, that was arrogant.
Oh, boy. Such an
awesome. Honestly,
I mean,
the one thing that I could think of that I used to... I was reminiscing the other day. I was going through some old stuff because we got rid of a lot of stuff like Goodwill and everything. And I found an old binder that I collected baseball cards in. And I thought, man, I really enjoyed that when I was a kid. And I'm sure some of these are worth money now. But I don't think I could ever get rid of them. And I think I like collecting things like that are kind of nostalgic. You know, I don't know what that would be, but I would enjoy that.
My dad's a collector. That's been his hobby his whole life.
Cards or?
No, not cards, but like stamps, coins.
Yeah.
Collections.
That seems par for the course with how you've described him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of those kind of guys. Yeah. So
I don't know what that thing would be, but it seems like
collectors enjoy their lives more.
Yeah.
Simple pleasures.
You can take the deep dive on something really quirky and it's just part of your collection.
Is your dad a hoarder too?
if you talk to my mom, yes. But no, he's not. He will purchase collections from people.
Yeah.
And then it takes him literally 2.5 months to go through those collections.
Is he
collections of what?
Coins.
Oh. Is he sentimental?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Wow, that took a turn. Maybe
I'm trying to draw connections.
Maybe get him to start collecting stamps and he can save USPS. Is he voting for Trump?
I don't
feel comfortable answering that question. Just for kidding. Him. But yeah.
Stamps. Maybe we should go to the next segment.
is that all the questions?
Yeah, for you, it would be cards, though.
I think cards, but that's just because it's kind of, I don't know that there's really any value to them anymore. But like when I was going through them, I was like, man, I remember getting this card and being 9 years old and watching that ball game with my dad or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
and
when I was coming through, the rich kids got like the box set for the year.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, man, that's intense. Yeah. You have all the cards for the year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just what came to mind.
So. Ben, what would you collect if you were a collector?
Well, this is going to sound trite, but I would collect coins because I've got my dad's knowledge I could pull from.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it's pretty cool. Like, I'll walk into my parents' house, and my dad will hand me a coin. He'll be like, check this out. And I'm thinking, I have no idea what this is. He's like, that's BC right there.
Oh.
I'm like, what?
That's cool.
Like, yeah. BC
really?
Roman. I'm like, oh my gosh, where'd you find this? He's like, oh, some guy in Hattiesburg had it in his attic. You know, it's completely nuts where he finds
this.
Have
you ever thought that maybe he's lying to you?
Well, he's a convincing liar.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. What about restaurant? What would you collect?
I'm sitting here thinking that honestly gives me anxiety because I feel like a hoarder. You brought up hoarder.
Yeah.
And I like to be able to let things go really easy.
I'm kind of the same.
But here's the thing. I think that collecting is a little bit different. Like when I say I went through my closet, like I think I have 15 shirts in my closet right now, maybe. You know, that I don't like having extra things and I'm very quick to throw things away. But to me, collecting doesn't mean that you have a lot of anything. It means that you have 5 things that you really like.
Oh,
you
well know then dogs. Why. I would collect dogs.
You already collect dogs.
Yes, but more.
Two is not enough. Yeah. Double it. Triple it.
You collect so many dogs, there are dogs that you have like an adopted family that has dogs.
You're right. You are right. Like,
I have to greet them multiple times a week.
Chase, what would you collect, if anything?
I think because it could serve dual purpose as decoration, I think I would collect old cameras. Because I think they look cool on the shelf and stuff.
There you go.
Like the, like find one from like the Civil War that has the big explosive flash on it.
That's how we should take staff pictures.
I can picture myself like coming over to your house. I come through the front door and I hear.
Can I also add this? I was going to start collecting hourglasses.
Oh,
space bar. But then Ben walked into my office and knocked the first one off. That meant so much to me.
And broke it.
That was literally from 1816. Like 200 years old.
Whoa.
And the water shattered all over my floor. The glass shattered. So I just have the outline. I was like, you know what? I think this is a sign. I can't have nice things around Ben. So.
But he did put up your shelves.
That was while he was putting up my shelves. It was the sacrifice.
Oh. All right, next segment.
Recommends,
recommends. Ooh. Hey, I don't know how to transition out of a song, really. I think about it every time when I'm like,
it's me singing and then me
talking. Yeah.
Try being me in the auditorium. How do you define a community? And I'm like,
how do you define a community?
I wonder if people think that you're just backstage, like in a mic, and you're like passing it around. Like,
can you define it with just four simple words?
We think so.
And then you like pass it to Chris. He's back there. He's like, inclusive.
Well, what they didn't know is I was beatboxing behind them. It was like, inclusive. Anyway, recommends.
We should say thanks, Janice.
Thank you, Janice, and explain.
Explain the recommends.
In case this is your first time.
Somehow. Yeah, Christmas for Dummies is how it started.
Yep,
and we've adopted it for the podcast. Want, need, where, read.
Yep.
The way we go about this is we're saying things that other people, based on our experience, should want, should read, should wear, should need.
Do need, should need. Yeah.
Shout need.
Yes.
Shant.
So, and we say thanks. Short. Yeah, we say thanks, Janice, because that's my mother-in-law. And she's currently writing a book called Why I Hate Christmas. We're going to co-author this.
By humbug.
This was her solution to Christmas and the hustle and bustle, blah, blah, blah.
I will keep saying it. We need Janice on the podcast.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't care when. Just
is Janice
soon.
Okay with shortening Christmas to Xmas? Like if it's for, you know.
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
She's like, good. It's already been ruined.
All right, well.
Yeah, it's already corporatized.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Austin, go ahead.
I'm just getting used to starting here. So, I've been on a Spotify kick, so I'm going to keep that up. And I found this guy this week and really, really love him. His name is Paul Coffin. And it is I think he's probably like, it's somewhere between folk and country genre. He has a very bluesy vibe, though, and I really love
it. I feel like you're
stuff.
On a kick of bluesy stuff at the moment. Rap and blues.
It's hard to not be. I mean, blues kind of underpins a lot of stuff, and you don't realize it.
He is the closest. His voice is dead on Waylon. Dead on Waylon.
Oh, but Jennings. Waylon Jennings.
Yes, Waylon Jennings. But it is a very bluesy guitar, piano-driven vibe. It's really good and very different than my my last week, which was rap.
Did you say Coughlin or Coffin?
Coffin. Like Cauthen. Ben, of everybody in this room, you would like him.
Okay.
I'm on it. You definitely need to check him out. He's got one called Holy Spirit Fire that is great.
There we go.
That's really good.
I'm currently stuck
that name,
on
I'm nervous.
I'm stuck on Hamilton, so I need something to
grief. Yeah, that'll help. What you need, and this is something that I thought about because I've been driving a lot in the last couple of days. I knew I was going to be driving, so I went and washed my truck and had the inside detailed, and I love a fresh air freshener in your vehicle.
Casey Neistat hates it.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm on that team.
He says it's just covering up. Your car should smell good on its own.
No, Caitlin got in my truck a couple days ago, and she goes, this is the way your truck is supposed to smell. Because I've had the same air freshener in my car for years and years and years. It's how my vehicles always smell.
You look like a black ice guy.
I love it. There's something about a fresh air freshener. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy my drive to work this morning.
But you're not fancy with it. You're not like essential oils in the pouch under the driver's seat.
I'm really just trying to get the middle school boy smell out of my truck. That's what I'm going.
So you put the high school locker room smell.
It's what it is. It's what it is.
It's an upgrade.
It's what it is. Yeah. Wear. I actually have a wear because I was thinking the other day, I never ever have a wear because I wear the same things every single day. But there is one article of clothing that I have worn for probably 3 or 4 years now. And you guys know that I'm a big fan of New Balance shoes. I was telling you about my 990s a couple weeks ago. I recommended the 990s a couple weeks ago. New Balance makes great shoes, particularly when they're American made, but they make fantastic men's boxer briefs.
I feel like we visit this a lot.
Yeah, I did.
Men's underwear.
Goodfellow, Reebok, now we're at New Balance.
Here's the thing. They're really well-priced, I think, for what you get. They're a little bit above some of the other things that we've mentioned, but I've used their boxer briefs for years, and I love them. And they're the only thing I use, and I'm a big fan. So you can check them out.
I just want to say, if I were to get on here and recommend something women wear undergarment-wise, I don't feel like it would be okay.
Why? Go for it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I would never.
You would never?
I just want to say that if I didn't.
I'm just saying.
I think there's a difference between a male doing that and a female doing that because
I don't know.
No one's imagining Austin.
Right, exactly.
Like, hey, I wonder.
Right now, while we're recording this podcast, I'm just hearing my New Balance.
No, he's not. Thank God.
I'm currently thinking like I would be so surprised if I just stumbled upon a pair of boxers that were made by New Balance.
Well, here's what happened. In Little Rock, the outlets there, they had a New Balance outlet, which is where I discovered that I like New Balance shoes. They had underwear there. I needed underwear because I was on a trip. I went to visit home and didn't bring enough and bought them and was like, these are the most quality boxer briefs I've ever had in my life. So
yeah, love it.
I quickly got rid of all the others and stocked up. So anyway, that's all I have. I don't have a read. I'm reading.
You don't have a read?
I'm reading the same things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So am I actually.
Yeah.
Still on mastery.
Just go read Robert Greene, guys. That's all I have to say.
Please. See episode every other one.
Yeah.
All right, Reshma, you're up.
I'm going to recommend something that I think tackles all of the categories, mainly because I'm an overachiever at this point.
Wait, this has not been done.
We'll see if it happens. You're going to run the gauntlet here? Yeah, we'll see. Okay. So what I'm going to recommend is this thing called 75 Hard, and it's a mental and physical challenge.
Sounds like a rock movie.
I just saw the raised eyebrow.
75 Hard.
Anyways, you can literally Google it, but it's Austin run by this guy named Andy Frizzella. Sorry, Andy, if you ever listen to this, if I said your last name wrong, we're just going to go with it. So what you do is 75 days, you have to do these things. You have to follow a diet, and it doesn't specify, but you have to just follow like a diet that you've set for yourself. 2 45-minute workouts, and one of them has to be outside.
Two workouts for 45 minutes a day.
Per day.
And one of them has to be outside, no matter if it's raining or cold or whatever. You have to do it.
Is there any...
Hang on.
Okay.
This may answer your questions.
Okay, go ahead.
There's no alcohol or cheat meals allowed for 75 days. You have to take a progress picture. And believe it or not, this is where I fail every time. 1 gallon of water and 10 pages of reading. And then in the fine print, it says you have until you go to sleep to complete the day. Audiobooks do not count. And start on day one if you fail any of these. So that's the mental thing. Because
you have to restart to day one.
To day one. It doesn't matter if you're at day 74 and you forget to take a progress picture. I have been there. You have to start back over.
I'm not disciplined enough to restart.
Well, that's why it's such a mental thing. And then once you've completed that, the 75 days, which, again, it's hard. That's why it's called that. You have to add in a 5-minute cold shower every day.
Mm.
You have to add in 3 critical powerless tasks. So like that's obviously based on your own life, but you have to try to do some critical thinking of like what you can change in your life and apply that. And then add in 10 minutes of dedicated visualization. Why does that happen to me every time I'm recording something?
I do it all the time.
That's a difficult one.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Wait. So those 3 are add-ons if you complete?
After you do it for 30 days, it's phase 1, phase 2, phase 3.
Say the name again because people are
75 hard.
You can find it on social media if you hashtag it, or you can just literally Google it. And
I found it on his website.
Yeah. So there's a club of people like I've done this.
There's people who have done it, and there's people who do videos like all throughout, and then on like day 74, 73, so like crap.
The hashtag has got to be hashtag 75 hard, right? Okay.
It is. So and the number 75. Not
are you doing this currently?
I just started back. I obviously had to stop when I got sick.
So that
put me down, but I am starting it again. And this is my accountability, which I'm going to hate because everybody in this room knows how much I eat sweets and how often that happens. But.
Well, it says cheat meal. Well, you do make sweets a meal.
Yeah, well, exactly. But if I eat like a piece of chocolate, it's not a big deal. And that's, and you can do all the research behind it, but it literally is more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing. Like people think I do it for a physical like challenge, but it's the mental for sure. Cause you wake up.
The physical part is hard or easier for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's the remembering to do the picture because sometimes you like could care less to even like think about that. And then, I mean, reading 10 pages a day doesn't sound like a lot, but when you get home after a long day, like that's the last thing you want to do. Just read one. So, anyways.
To point out, you getting home after a long day of ministry is sometimes like 11:15
exactly.
p.m.
And you go to bed early.
Typically at 9:30 if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by it.
Does it pass all that you should want this, you need this?
You got to read.
You got to read this. Where is it? Is it?
Wearing your gym clothes twice a day.
How are
you doing that? Are you going in the morning and in the evening?
So typically after I get off here around 3:30, I'll go and I'll do my own workout.
We have the same schedule.
And then after 7:30 at night when it's cooled down, I walk my neighborhood with the dogs. You can literally walk. Okay. Like some people think, but I also will say on the books, some people think, again, he said no audiobooks, but it has to be non-fictional. A lot of people just think they can read a lot of fiction. And
see,
so
I don't disagree with that. Oh, never mind. But it's this thing.
So anyways, there's my things.
I think you achieved it. I think you did it. All four.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I feel accomplished.
That's
thank
a solid recommend.
The only stretch is the wear, but that's hard.
You can wear gym clothes.
That does the best thing for recommend because I'm going to look into that more after we get off of this.
I hope more people do. And if you do, please reach out to me because I want people to do it with me. I have sent this to people and they say they're going to do it and then they make an excuse.
We're
going to
help
you.
All right. Use the hashtag 75 hard. All right. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it because of Reshma recommending it to you, hashtag 75 hard Reshma.
Wow.
You can put that on Instagram and you can track it yourself.
Reshma's house?
Yeah. Because it's local.
Cool. All right. Cool.
It's a ministry guess.
All right, then.
All right. I really only have one, and this is very fresh.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it in the category of need.
Okay.
Because that's where it falls for me. I believe everyone needs a place outside of their home that they go to get peace. Like, I go to this place, and whatever I do there, it's peaceful for me, okay? Mm-hmm. So I have a place that a friend of mine, I go to his house. He's got a beautiful shop, and even if I'm doing just mundane stuff out there, it's my peaceful place. It's outside of my house. I have to have effort to get there. I think everybody needs one of those.
Mm.
I had a mentor very early in my life share that with me, and his place was actually, he would drive to Vicksburg and sit on the bank of the river, and that was his place. Like if he disappeared and you couldn't find him, that's where he was. And I didn't really take that advice when I was younger, but now that I have one, I'm like clutch.
I know this isn't normal to ask questions on a recommend, but how often would you recommend doing that?
If I miss a week or two doing that, like if I get outside of 2 weeks, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. Preferably, I would be there once a week.
Gotcha.
That's RX, once a week.
Yeah. It sometimes life happens, right?
Right.
But if I go over 2 weeks, I start feeling that I need to get out there and just get some space, you know? And I have a couple of rituals when I get there. Like, this is what I do out there. We're going to lift both doors. We're going to turn on the fan. We're going to, you know, it just gets me in that space and I don't have to talk to anyone. Well, except for the friend, we talk for a minute and then he's like always busy. So he leaves me alone.
Mm.
Which is a phrase you said last week, which I totally have hijacked.
Wait,
leave me alone.
Oh.
I feel that a lot. So my recommend briefly is to have a place, establish a place that you go with regularity that is peaceful for you, that's away from your routine. It'll change how you are in your routine.
That's good advice.
Cool. All right, so I got two. Yeah, two. Real fast. My want, I know I've recommended Dax Shepherd's podcast before, but I'm going to get specific with this one because there's a lot to choose from. So I'm going to throw in a want because I want to recommend a couple of really casual ones that are just a fun listen. You know, that's how I kind of use it. I use this podcast as kind of the side fun podcast as opposed to...
He put out a great one yesterday.
Like while you're
watched Sean Penn's, right? Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
While you're making really stir fry, you just got this going.
Yeah. Oh no, I wouldn't. Rachel would hate it. I can't do that. But I break it down in like 15-minute drive to work.
Ah, okay.
It's a very easy stop and start podcast. One that's really good is Rob Lowe's. Rob Lowe's is really funny, especially if you like Parks and Rec, because he's not Chris Traeger, but he's enough Chris Traeger where you're like, man, this is just fun.
I see how they wrote that character.
Yeah, he easily plug and played into it. And I think I've talked about it before, but it's worth going back. If you haven't done it, go listen to Ashton Kutcher's.
Both of them.
I have not listened to his return yet.
It's good.
The only return I've listened to is Malcolm Gladwell.
There's probably no other guy on planet Earth that I'm more surprised to be a fan of.
Than Ashton Kutcher, yeah.
So many people have a misconception about who that guy is.
He is incredibly intelligent.
Yes. And he's still Ashton, like the funny, hilarious all the time Ashton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's so smart at the same time.
Quick question about that podcast. When you're listening to it and you hear his co-host Monica, do you also put Reshma's face on her?
What? Wait, why?
Just because she's Indian?
Is she Indian?
She is. Yes.
Very. She is, yes.
No. She is mousy like he describes her. Yeah. So plus, I've seen her picture enough to know to have a face to it.
I'm obviously joking. She's Indian.
She is Indian. Yeah. But from Georgia.
Working here is hard, everybody.
That's a good recommend. I love that.
Yeah.
The one with Sean Penn was good.
Yeah. Second, it's kind of the same. Mine's New Balance as well on the wear, but it is their shoes. I think people only see New Balance as the casual. Like, what are mine called, Austin?
Those
what?
Are 540s.
Yeah, they see the 540s, the 990s Sneaker and heads. Stuff.
Mm.
Oh, they're comfortable. I got my 540s because I think they're way more casual than like the sporty sneakers that we all are attracted to nowadays. But New Balance has hopped into the sporty sneaker game, and it's pretty strong. So and they're usually cheaper than an Adidas or a Nike's, and then the same level quality. So give them a shot. They're my alternate to Pumas.
They're great.
Yeah, that's all I got. See you
later.
Thanks.